Today we'll be in Philippians 3, 18 through actually 20. We might get there. First we'll get into the second class of the wrong Christian example. And then we'll move into Christian citizenship. And that's in verses 20 through 21. Before we get started, let's take a moment of silent prayer so we can get in gear. And for us, getting in gear means just simply naming our sins to God the Father so we can hold ourselves accountable and also be cleansed from all unrighteousness so we're able to grow, apply, and just live the spiritual life under the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's take care of that now. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for your matchless grace. We know that you're working the situation out at all times, whether it be in the lives of our country or our individual lives. We know that you're there. We know that you're faithful. And we just ask that we can continue to stay faithful to you, continue to stay focused on your word, and just lean on you more and more as we go through this life. We thank you for the ability to do that through your scripture. You've provided it for us, and we're very thankful for it. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So Philippians 3, 18, and I'll start reading from verse 17. It says, "Brethren, join in following my example, and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I often told you, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is their shame, who set their minds on earthly things." So we did get into this. And if you remember, we said on Sunday that this is referring to those believers that Paul is very emotional about. He's sad. You know, he knows them. He's seen them walking before. The word peripateo means that they were once living by a standard, and they've veered from that. And Paul's sad about that. And he's telling them what happened was they are now enemies of the cross, which means they're ignoring their spiritual life. So they've put a stop to the focus on anything of a standard in their life through Scripture. And we noted that when you have personal interest or love towards someone, and that happens, they do, you know, get away from the Scripture. It's a sad thing to see, because you and I know that the direction that goes, the direction they take in life, the knots that they have to get on their head associated with that, and we have to watch it. So it's not always the easiest thing to see. And that's what Paul really is kind of sad about. He's just saying, well, this is the status of the situation here. And he is sad. Remember that word was describing physical, vocal emotion. So it could be crying as well involved in there. So then we made our way to verse 19. It says, "Whose end is their destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is their shame, who set their minds on earthly things." And if you remember, we talked about that was the sin unto death. Destruction, the best way to describe it is how the word is translated. Causing someone to be completely cut off from what could or should have been. So this is things that they had, that God wanted to give them, wanted to provide, and yet they got cut off because of rejection, from lack of faithfulness from the individual believer. A loss of well-being, usually translated loss or destruction in this case. So not a pretty picture, and I tried to convey that last class. And then whose God is their appetite, or in this case, emotion. And you remember that the word there meant the cavity of the body. And it's from the word That means hollow or empty. And part of this included emotions. And I wanted to bring this up again today because we all get emotional at times. We all have emotions. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with emotions. Nothing at all wrong with them. But the reason why the word is translated a cavity of the body or an empty void is because emotions take what they're given and respond off of that. Kind of like our stomachs. They receive what we give them. Either they accept it and digest or they reject it. And it's emotions have to accept what you give them. It's just a matter of how they're going to respond. That's the only thing that's different. Angry, happy, sad. You get the point. There's a lot of different emotions that we have that they just take what they're given. So it's always based off of either your circumstances or, in this case, what we're driving towards is off your thinking, off of what is in your mind. And the point of this here was their God is their emotion. Remember that? That's lowercase g. That's the most important thing here. Lowercase g. I hope that your translation doesn't have an uppercase g. You might want to check your translation. I don't think they do. I'm pretty sure none of them do, but that's a lowercase g. So as Christians, we know that our thinking should always be based on truth. Always. We know that we also detour from that. We know that we could get out of fellowship and then all of a sudden the falsehood of the world and we're thinking on a different standard at that point. But overall, we know that we're driving forward in fellowship, in the power of the Holy Spirit, and continuing to grow as maturing Christian believers in this world. That's a given. But what this verse is pointing out is someone that has detoured from their spiritual life, they've removed themselves from the power of the Holy Spirit, they've removed themselves from any confession or admittance of sin, what happens is that you're no longer basing your emotions are no longer responding to truth. They're responding to everything else. So what happens is there's a thing that changes in your life is you're being driven by something. And that something, in this case, lowercase g, is the emotion. Things have changed. If there's no spiritual life, you have to be driven by something else. And what that change becomes is your emotion, which is just a responder. Remember, that's a dangerous place to be because it takes what it's given. And then that can be a good response or a negative response. And then you base the next decision off of that response. Not off of thinking, off of that emotion. So we've all been there. How about when we're angry? The next thing that comes after that decision is usually not good. Or how about when we're overly happy, excited, not thinking, and make a decision? Well, sometimes it can be safe, but sometimes it may not be. But you see what I mean? There's no actual thinking in the emotion. And sometimes we make decisions that are based right off of that emotion. So when you see their God is their emotion, now you know what we're talking about. That this is their God. This is what runs their life. This is what directs them in life. This is how they... and really, you know, this is all about circumstances. This is all about making decisions off of good and bad. There's nothing else. The good and bad of this world. So that could be anything. That could be anything. You name it. It could be the weather. It could be a car plowing through a building. It can be anything. And if we as Christians base our thinking, our emotion, our response off of what happened, well, then we're not going to make the right decisions because it's not in accordance with correct thought. With correct thought. And that's the key right here. Because the Christian way of life is not based on emotion. Emotion can be a good thing. emotion, you will experience emotions as a growing Christian, no doubt about it. I mean, think about what we're involved with here. The Word of God, the Christian way of life. You are happy internally. That carries with it emotion. You might say one day just be thinking and think, wow, look what we have available to us. That brings a state of emotion when no one is around you because you realize what all we have in Jesus Christ. But what I'm saying is it's just a responder. It's simply a responder to what's already there inside of you. So that's the main point. So when you reverse that order, do you see what happens? The God becomes, the uppercase G is moved over here and replaced with the lowercase G, God. And that's what's happening here in this verse. And then you end up with a lot of weird things. You end up with a lot of bad decisions. You end up with a lot of abnormal emotion. You end up with a lot of things that are cannot get out of the emotion because you're basing your next decision off of the same emotion. It's a circular path there. So whether you're chasing the emotion that you're currently in or you're looking for a new emotion, it's all the same. Whether it's a new happy emotion, a better emotion than you're in, see, it never ends. That God becomes, you become a slave to that God. And that's not a good place to be because emotion will run you in the ground. It will run you in the ground. And granted, I will still say emotion was given to us by God to appreciate. Emotion is a good thing. It is a good thing. But when it's reversed, God becomes your emotion, that's when we have an issue. That's when we have an issue. So, all abnormal emotion, you know what that looks like. Hatred, fear, worry, anxiety, which granted we do have, but that's not your God. That's not what runs your life. There's people that live this life in fear. Realize that? In fear. Fear every day that someone's going to kill them. This is just an example. None of you have a target on your back, but there are people that sometimes do, and with no spiritual life, guess what? You're going to live in fear because you have nothing else to base your faith in except people and emotion, and that's it. And you may stay in a cave most of your life. So that's one of the reasons why we don't base our decisions off emotion. So, which also, if those abnormal emotions, if you make decisions in there, what do you have? Those become the motivation for further bad decisions, further wrong decisions, because it's not based off of truth. Keep that in mind. It's based off of that emotion. And whatever it takes to achieve that good or that better emotion, that's the decision that we're going to choose. And that can be anything. That's the joy of this life, is we have a thinker and a decision maker God gave us. But those abnormal emotions end up in other areas. Physically, gossiping, running other people down, violence, sometimes criminal acts. Of course, depression is involved in here. Promotion of self. You see, I mean, this goes all over the place. Once you start to get into emotion, it really gets kind of scary because the God is not a very friendly God, God of emotion. It's not on your side. It's not faithful. It's just running by whatever you are reacting to, is a good way to put it. So, and we know that we've been there. We've made decisions from an emotionally charged state. But at the same time, we know how to check ourselves. We know how to bring that back in check. We know we're out of fellowship. So all we do is get back in fellowship. And guess what? It's like a train on the tracks. When you're in fellowship, you have the correct motivation no matter what. Well, no matter until you get out of fellowship again. But do you see the point? That's a decision that we make. The train is on the tracks until we decide to derail it. That's what I mean. So, I mean, you can see, just look back at your life and you see the decisions that you made that were in emotion and some that were made in thinking. It's black and white. It's black and white. We can see, okay, yeah, that was a bad decision. So, lowercase g, the reason that the word here is a lowercase g is because we can only dedicate our life to one of the two. There's no in between. There's no in between here. It's either the lowercase g or the uppercase g as far as God is concerned. There's no in between there. So, you cannot obey the Lord and His word and obey your emotional desires at the same time. It can't happen. It just can't happen. You're devoting your attention, your will to one or the other. Your volition and your will are together on this. What drives your entire life go together. And it's got to be based on one or the other. Has to be. And that makes sense, because when you think about what a capital G is to us, God, think about it. That's what we devote that's who we worship. As we worship God, we devote our life to God. That's who controls our life. That's who we base our decisions off of. I mean, there's so much. That's who we serve. That's who guides your life. Look at all these things. So when you replace that with emotion, no difference in all the things I just said. It's just a different who's guiding, who you're serving, who you're following, what direction you take in life. Completely different. It's just completely different. So there's a huge difference there, lowercase and uppercase G. The dedication, the service, and the ability to make decisions are all based on a lowercase G emotion. That's what this passage is referring to. We don't want to be there. Even though we can sway in this area because of our sin natures, we do not want to stay in this area. Because remember, we're talking about a believer here. This is a believer, a reversionistic believer who has left. You can't say completely left, but you can say they're negative. They're not positive growing believers as you are. So, and you know, this brings up the fact that the spiritual life functions on divine power, not emotion or human power. But in our pride, in our arrogance, it does function on emotion. That's what it likes to function on, emotion. So, and that's because decisions based on some emotion usually are not made objectively or with someone else in mind. They're made thinking about me. If I want to keep achieving some emotion, guess what? I'm excluding everyone else in my decision-making process. Even those directly in my periphery. Family, congregation, everyone. I'm not worried about anything else. So that emotion really has taken me down to a path that excludes others. Subjectivity is what it is. It's all about me. And those decisions are based off furthering my plan. So, and we already said that, I know we're talking a lot about emotion, but emotion is meant to be a good thing. Emotion, I just want to remind you of that, because don't think you can't leave out of here and be happy. You can. You can. Because we will. That's what we have available to us. We have the Word of God in your souls. I mean, that brings happiness. Remember the confidence that we talked about? That's a source of happiness. And you will go in phases in that. But guess what? It never goes away. It's always based on us. It's based on the decisions that we make as believers in Jesus Christ, whether we make positive decisions or negative decisions in there. So, and what's really happening in this case is that someone who has no truth in their soul will attempt to fill that void. That's what's going on. Remember, there's nothing satisfying in this world that's completely fulfilling and ultimately satisfying like the Word of God. Nothing. Nothing can compare. There's nothing that you've been exposed to or I have been exposed to that can fulfill you, satisfy you, make you completely happy like the Word of God can. And when you don't have that, you've got to fill that void. You have to take something else in this world and fill it. Whether it be to buy something new, buy something bigger, better, guess what? You keep chasing that. Because you're attempting to fill something that you can't fill. That's that circular pattern there. And we all, believe it or not, we all have that in us. And we could step out and say, yep, that'll make me happy. And then we step back in and say, no, it didn't make me happy. But some people don't step back in. Some people keep chasing, running around the track. And they'll see the mirage and they get to it and they have to go to the next mirage. And it keeps disappearing. It'll keep disappearing. So without truth in the soul, you have to fill it with other things. And this is one of those things, emotion. So, then we have a verse that has our same Greek word in it. Romans 16, 17 and 18. It says, no, I didn't give you this. Well, we'll see. Verse 17 says, now I urge you, brethren, to keep your eye on those who cause dissensions and hindrances contrary to the teaching which you learned. This is talking about people that have are not in a line with your thinking based off the Word of God. It's just saying be careful of those who call, look out for. Remember the word skopeo has that, where we get our word scope. Keep your eyes peeled for people that cause dissensions and hindrances contrary to the teaching which you have learned. And then it says, and turn away from them. For such men, now listen here, here's our word, are slaves not of our Lord Jesus Christ, but of their emotions. See, remember I just said that when we have our ideas of living in this kind of state, we're not thinking about other people. We're not thinking about friends. We're not thinking about family. We're not thinking about ties that we have. We're not thinking about, oh, we've been friends or boys or girls this long over the years. That is gone. And what's happening in here is it says that it causes dissensions and hindrances. And I wanted to look at these two words because the word dissensions literally means separate standings, standing apart. And it's used of divisions which wrongly separate people into factions. This is the kind of thing that we as believers have to keep your eyes open for. Because guess what? When you have truth in your soul, you're going to notice things. And this is just one of those things that God is pointing out to us. This is the word for dissensions. So those with a separate standing, this is saying that this is not saying that everyone has to believe what you believe. But when those differing beliefs start to separate people into different ways, whether it be smaller groups, you can very quickly have a much larger problem than you had before. That's important. Dissensions, that's what the word means. A faction, that was in part of the definition. It's a smaller group within a larger that hold beliefs that are in variance with the ones officially held. I cannot make this stuff up. Dissensions and hindrances contrary to the teaching which you learned. The word hindrances here, or some translations say obstacles, is scandalon. Almost sounds like scandalous, doesn't it? It means a stick for bait that causes the trap to close. Generally a snare, a stumbling block. Cause for error. This word means putting a negative cause and effect relationship into motion. The ball has started rolling. This is hindrance. They set the snare, set the trap. See, they started the ball rolling. So, and in this initial cause is done on an individual level that then spreads to other people. You have the ability to spot this, believe it or not, because of the truth in your soul. And this negative cause is something that is well known by the individual before any problems ever arise. This is something that's pre-planned, known in advance of the separation between your thinking and their thinking. This isn't anything new. Nothing new here. But the reason why I wanted to bring it up today is because I need for you to be aware of these kind of things. And I need to be aware of them too. As believers in Jesus Christ, we've got to stay in tune with the Word of God. We have to. And when I get a verse like this, I've got to teach it. I have to teach it. If it comes in front of my face, there's a reason the Holy Spirit gave it to me. That's all I can tell you. It starts with separating people into groups, and then next comes the cause for error or the stumbling block. And that's one of the reasons for keeping a close eye on this kind of thing. Because if you can recognize it beforehand, as you are capable of, then you can apply the proper truth and you can pass the test. You can pass the test of the negative effect, whatever happens, or maybe even de-escalate the problem before it arises. If you have ever seen something like this in the workplace, it's interesting to watch, because if you're working in a corporation or on a job site, and there's one person who's causing divisions, strife, divisions, they're always the problem, and it always ends up not working out to their end or to their means. It may temporarily, we've seen that, but the end result is that it kind of snowballs on themselves, and that's what the verse will bring out. So the command to turn away from them, it means just that. The word means to keep away from, to steer clear, avoid, turn aside, cease, stop doing something. I can't say that any better. The obvious reason to steer clear of these folks is in the next verse. For such men are slaves, not of our Lord Jesus Christ, but of their emotion. And we already talked about that part. You already talked about where the direction that's going. It's not thinking about you. It's not thinking about the direction you're going in your career, in the workplace, who you know. It's not thinking about the company objectives. Do you see what I mean? So there's our word. You can see there's one of the two options. A slave of one or the other. So when someone is a slave in this state, they don't care about the dissensions or the problems they may cause, because they're only seeking their own ends, whatever that may be. You can fill in the blank on that. Usually has something to do with gaining a position, money, popularity, acceptance, attention, and based off all emotion. All that is based off emotion, every single bit of it. People will do some very crazy things for acceptance. Acceptance. You actually all did growing up. At one point or another, you wanted to be accepted, and I did too, in some group of friends, and we all made some bad decision based off acceptance, didn't we? Now, this is not talking about growing up and being a dumb butt. This is talking about growing believers recognizing these dissensions and seeing what they're rooted in. We're making adult decisions now. These aren't child things looking just to be buddies anymore. This is things that are causing actual issues, because when we look for acceptance as adult believers, that ends up causing separations. So, next verse, and by their mouth and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. The word smooth speech here means smooth speech that simulates holiness or a good cause. They are very persuasive in their false arguments. Very persuasive. And then it says, it doubles back down on it. It says, and flattering speech. This is fair or fine speeches. They have polished language and a false eloquence. And when you combine both of these things, we can be deceived. People are drawn to these things. And that's what they're hoping to do. Put one over on you. Pull the sheet right out from under you. And I wanted to show you this verse to show what the power of letting our lives be slaves to our emotions looks like. Not to necessarily, well, the Word of God does what it does in your soul. But I wanted to show you this because emotion can drive us down a path that is not a good place to be. It's not a good place to be. And we all know that. We've seen that in various decisions in our lives, looking back at our past. And we can see that right here in this scripture. Where it goes is just no man's land. There's no one helping you. God is not assisting you in that area because you've rejected Him. You are literally on your own, walking on a bridge, looking to cause dissensions and deceive. Not a good place to be. And what's happened is their emotion has become a slave to that emotion. And actually, that emotion has fooled them and pulled the sheet over their own eyes. You see that? So the plans, the eloquence, the deception is not by them. It's by the emotion, by the sin nature that's driving that. So they've been deceived. They've just been deceived. And it happens to us too, because it looks attractive. So we take that path. We go down that path sometimes. And then we wake up and say, you know what? That wasn't right. That wasn't the right path I was supposed to be on. So I'm going to go a different way. I'm going to go a different path. And that's encouraging to me. That's what the Christian life is all about. When we see something wrong, when we see a mistake, guess what? We can make a path. We can make a change. We can make a new direction. That's what's awesome about the Word of God and God Himself. No matter how deep you can go within a hole, God will welcome you back with open arms every single time. Every time. And as believers in Jesus Christ, guess what? We need to have the same attitude, believe it or not. We don't ever eternally reject, if I can put it that way, anything or anybody, I should say. Because God doesn't. So why should we? But we need to be aware. And we need to be able to see. We need to be able to make right decisions in accordance with what this verse says. So, back to our verse. See little detours there. 3:19, and whose glory is their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. So when you set your mind on to pursuing and achieving the glory to self or another person, you just have to be prepared for those very things to be your shame. That's what this verse is saying. Because there are certain things that we desire, and this verse, there you go. You can at least see the verse. the things that we are seeking for glory in this on this earth, if it's not based in truth, if it's not based on Scripture, if it's not based on divine power, guess what? That glory that you or I think is glory will be flipped and will be your shame. It will be completely flipped. So whose glory, they think it's their glory. This is their glory. This life is their glory. Remember what it's based off of, though. It's based off of emotion. And if I can always keep that emotion up here, that's glorious in my mind. If I can always keep the perception good of myself, that's glorious in my mind. This is saying that glory becomes their shame. We have to keep in mind what I see as honorable or praiseworthy is not necessarily what Christ sees as honorable or praiseworthy. There's a big difference there. Big difference. It's all about motivation, remember? So these people have raised what? Putting the earthly things like money, wealth, real estate, career, relationships, social status, power, position, rank, climbing the ladder of promotion. They've put one or more of those over their relationship with Christ. Over that. And then that becomes their glory. Those things I just named, whatever those are. We all know people. We've done it. We've been there. We have all seen it. People live their life like this. You grow up and you live the American dream. You get married. You have a great job. You make six digits. Guess what? Glory. You've sealed the deal on that. You're glorious. You have a job that you love. Glory. Not according to Jesus Christ. That's not what his definitions of glory here are. We need to be aware of that. Because these things can deceive you. Your entire lives, they can deceive you. They've deceived us. At some point, they've deceived us. Because they are attractive. Your sin nature desires these things. So that's what we enjoy and that's what we go for. The point of the fact is that that glory will become shame. We can't be deceived by the situation or the things that God has provided. These things are given. It's about the giver. It's not about what's given. Now, will they receive the glory on this earth? Sure. They might. By you, by me, by the boss, by the coworker. See, that's where it gets hairy. Because not only is it in your own mind, you're also receiving it from other people. You're receiving glory. So that becomes attractive and you start to chase that too. You become a slave. See, that has that emotional aspect coming behind it. That's why we just went through that. Emotion and whose glory is their shame. It's a constant. That's that circle deal right there. And remember, Scripture tells we have many commands. One of those is keep your mind on the things above. So, what does this signify? It signifies wasted effort and time that we put into pursuing our own interest over and above God's interest. They desired the glory of people over the glory of God. You've got to grow up to get out of that. I don't care what friend you have, who you're trying to impress. You've got to get out of trying to impress people. Because that will lead you into not a good place. I don't care what old friends they are. Or who comes around you. Who you are trying to impress. What's your motivation? Is the question. What's the motivation for it? That becomes the issue. I have no idea. That's up to you. You decide that on your own. I've got my own decisions to make. I've got to make those decisions on my own too, just like you do. Put your eyes on the earthly things. Then you'll receive the glory of this earth, which is temporary, fleeting. Actually, it might last for 5 minutes for all you care, or I care, or when we're in that state that we care. Right? Once it's gone, it's gone. And then you look for the next one. So when you choose to live a life based on lust patterns, emotions, and arrogance, then we must pay the consequences. We have to. And this has nothing to do with losing one's salvation, but it does have to do with their quality of life on this earth. Blessings. Has to do with rank in heaven. Has to do with discipline versus no divine discipline. There's a lot that goes with this. A lot. See, you're doing not only yourself a huge favor, but you're doing others a favor around you as well when you're focused on the right thing. Because you not only have their interest in mind when you're not looking for their glory, you've got the Lord's interest in mind. You're trying to glorify God. You're not worried about appeasing them, satisfying them, and allowing them to do whatever they want to do just to keep them going, keep them happy. You've got a different objective. You've got a different mindset. And that's where we need to stay. That's where we need to stay. Remember the railroad, the train on the track. So the world sees the glory of man as wealth, success, status, popularity. And you can definitely see how those things are attractive. But God sees not as man sees, for God looks at the heart. That's really what this is all about. It's about looking at the heart. It's about looking at what do you think, how do you live, how do you make decisions, and what are they rooted in? Are they rooted in your service to the Lord? Are they rooted in seeking these things that I just said? Because we can live a life based on just that. Look at any college student today. They're on that path. Unless they've tuned into the Word, they can't help it. You've got to be. That's what the world teaches you to do. That's what wealth, success, you name it. Having a baby sometimes, I mean, there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. But look, if you're not focused on the right things as you go through life, where are you leading them? Not a good place. Who set their minds on earthly things. The word here is to think, to direct the mind to seek, to care for. This is an inner perspective that shows itself in outward behavior. It comes out. It's going to come out. We can't keep it a secret. It'll come out. Just look at the lifestyle, right? Look at the lifestyle. Get to know someone. Talk to them. You'll figure out what their motivations are, what they want, what they desire, and who they care about. That's what comes out. That's what we can see right through. Because of the truth in your soul. We know where they're coming from. That's what you got to love about the Word of God. It'll slice someone in half. Including ourselves. Doesn't it? Well, that's a good thing, though. So, on earthly things, the word is just what it means. On the earth. Belonging to the earth. As opposed to the sky. In the spiritual sense, it's belonging to the earthly sphere. So these are the things that they've set their minds to. See, remember, there's either the spiritual or the physical. That's it. There is no in between. And when you set your mind on the earth, it's what you have. This is the physical realities that naturally go with daily life. You live in this world. You've got to see, feel, touch, be in it. So they're going to influence you every day, every single day. But the Word says what you think about, what you direct your mind to, what you seek. Not what you're around, not what influences you. That's going to happen no matter what. We're here. We're in this life. And this should encourage you. Because as believers, to know that you are positive and focused on the right priority in life. I'm speaking to you personally. You are focused on the right priorities in life. Or we know where to focus. I could say that. That's encouraging to me. The fact that we know the Word of God has pointed out to us, okay, that person is not looking out for my best interest. They're looking out for the earthly things. See how you can see? You can see things differently. Doesn't mean you have to completely separate from them. But it just means we have to recognize it. We have to recognize it. And that's encouraging. That's a good thing. So, instead of a life based on emotion with no capacity, what do you have? Capacity to truly enjoy everything. Everything. You're not based on emotion. You're no longer chasing that emotion, chasing that status, chasing whatever for yourself. It's not based on you anymore. You're just taking it as it comes based off the Word of God. That's happiness. Because God will keep pushing it, keep pushing it. He's going to keep pushing it. And He will. And He'll meet you there every single time. Because He's faithful and He loves you. That's why. So next service, we'll continue with this, what God gives us and the blessings that come from that. So let's pray. Dear Father, we thank You for this life. Thank You for the experience that You give us. We know that none of this is possible without Jesus Christ. We were eternally separated from You through sin. Sin is what caused us to fall, and it's what keeps us separated from You until You provided a solution through Jesus Christ. You not only said sin was not a problem, You provided a way that would allow a sinner to have a relationship with an eternal, perfect God. And You did that through Jesus Christ. You sent Him and He paid the absolute penalty for every single sin that anyone could ever commit on this earth, and He was judged for them. That judgment You allowed to be applied to each one of our accounts by simply believing in it. Now that's amazing. You said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And we are so gracious for that, that we can proclaim that, that we can live it, and we can enjoy a relationship with You. We thank You for everything. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.